My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. While I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And while I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're a Disney novice, the fan who's just thinking about planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World and the Lightning Lane sounds more like a frightening lane. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week, not one, not two, but three guests who came together through their love of Disney parks.
The first time we were together, we just had a massive hug and we were all in tears that we were in Disney together.
Also going to be answering some of your Walt Disney World questions, getting all the latest news from the parks, everything you need to know to get you ready to go back to the magic. And make sure you keep in touch with us. Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, we are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network on the day that Walt Disney World turns 50 years old. 1st of October, 1971, the magic began. And later in the podcast, we'll go through everything that they're doing to celebrate the 50th anniversary. But here we are, 50 years later, with the exciting news that finally, here in the UK, we can start planning our return. The big news that broke a couple of weeks ago, just after actually, it's a couple of days after the last podcast, was that America have announced that they are going to be opening back up to the rest of the world. At the moment, we know the timescale is early November, but here we are 2 weeks later, and that's all we know. So they're going to be opening up early November. Double jabbed adults, you'll have to have a COVID test a couple of days before you fly. We still don't know what the rules are for children. We know that AstraZeneca is fine. It's vaccines that have been approved by the World Health Organization. So if you read things on Facebook that you can't go, ignore that. It's all fine. As soon as we get any news, we'll let you know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical is where we are. So at least today we can celebrate Walt Disney World turning 50 and the fact that after 80 months, we can finally get back to America. I am very excited. I just want to know the date now because I'm booked for the end of November. For this podcast, we've got not one, not two, but three guests to talk about their love of Walt Disney World. And because there's three, that's why it might sound a little bit different this week. But they all came together through their love of Disney parks. This is the first time we have had three people on the podcast. I am going to introduce you to Rachel and Anna and Melanie, a.k.a. the Glotini Girls.
Hi.
Okay, who came up with that name first of all?
I think it was actually me. We organised a dib day out in Blackpool and we arranged for Glotinis. And these two, I have never seen anybody run for a cocktail as fast as these two, and it just kind of stuck, the Glotini Girls.
Shoving kids out of the way.
Because a Glotini is the famous Walt Disney World drink, isn't it? You get the little martini with the little glow thing in. And just in case people don't know, I'm thinking most people who listen to this podcast will have used the dib at some point. Do you want to explain, Melanie, what the dib is?
A Disney forum, really, aimed at British people. It's been in operation for many years. And several years ago, it had its own podcast called The Dibcast that I ended up getting involved in. And then later on, Adam and Rachel were invited as well. So it's all the information you could ever want about Disney is, believe you me, on there.
And you've been to Disney together, the three of you. You've been to the parks together.
We have, yes.
Was that a bit of a riot? Was that worse than Blackpool?
On par with,
I would say. I have to say, it's quite the experience because I think all of us have done Disney in various different combinations, you know, with family, with kids, and doing it without kids is possibly the best way to do it.
Without a doubt. Disney has brought so many people together. It's incredible that people across the Atlantic and everything. So let's talk about the parks. From each of you, tell me why you love Walt Disney World. What is it about those parks that does it for you? Rachel, you can go first.
Well, like most Disney fans, you know, I was brought up on Disney films, and so I've only ever been to Disneyland Paris.
Right,
I was supposed to go to Florida last summer, and for obvious reasons that got cancelled.
Weren't we all?
It will happen one day at some point. So I went to Disneyland Paris with my daughter back in the early 2000s, and it was just, I was inspired by Anna, because Anna had been going to Disney for many, many, many years, and she was like, just do it, just go. And it just, having then been back many times since, you have it's corny. It is like going home. You're like literally you're walking out of the train station in Marne Valley and walking into Disney Village and then going into the park. You're just like, I'm home. And it's just that sense of, I don't know. That's a really lame way of going, I love it.
The happy place.
It is. And it genuinely is. And like I say, I've got so many, you know, having been so many times in so many different combinations of groups, it's like you just have so many memories that you build up from those. And every time you go back, you think of those memories and you make new memories. And it's just an awesome place to go.
And Anna, you say you've been quite a few times then.
Yes. My very first trip was to Walt Disney World in 1989 when I was 9 with my mum and dad and brother, and I have been 20 times in total.
Wow.
Very lucky girl. In all sorts of combinations, as we have, as I say, with my parents, my brother, my grandparents then came the following year because we'd had such a good time. That sort of then followed on for about another 8 years. It became a bit of a tradition that we all went. Then I had a bit of a gap where I got married and I had children and I didn't go for a few years. And then I decided it was time to take my kids. And so started going back again 2007. So I had a gap from about 96 to 2007. So a lot of changes had happened in that time. And then as soon as I went back, I just remembered how much I absolutely loved it. And yeah, as Rach said, it's a happy place. But it's those memories. And I've been with my mum, I've just the two of us, I've been for celebrations, I absolutely intend on going back either next year or the year after. It holds so many different memories. So those trips with my grandparents, and God bless them, they're not around anymore, but I go and I remember those and it makes me happy. So it is my happy place for all those reasons. And it's just a place where it feels like there's no limitations on you. You can just go and be whoever you want to be and be happy and be, and no one's going to bat an eyelid at you, whether you're wearing mini ears or a silk t-shirt or a matching t-shirt, or you're walking around the parks wearing, you know, sort of Pluto shoes. Nobody cares. Nobody cares at all.
I like your Pluto shoes.
I love my Pluto shoes.
See those Pluto shoes. We'll have a photo of that for the Instagram page. Having been then since the late 80s, you must have seen attractions come and go. Is there anything like any one particular attraction that you gutted that isn't there anymore?
One of the biggest disappointments for me going back as an adult from being there as a teenager was going to Epcot and not realising, and only realising when I turned up, that World of Motion had gone.
I never got to experience that. So
it was amazing. It was just as a teenager back then, the technology was something else. The ride vehicle was amazing. And I just remember really looking forward to going back on it and it wasn't there.
Has that been replaced with Test Track? Was it where Test Track is, or is it something completely different?
That was Horizons.
I think it was.
Yes. I can't remember which way round they were. One was Horizons, one was World of Motion, and one is now Mission to Mars, and the other one is Test
Mission
Track.
Space.
I can't remember which way round right. there. Mission Space, sorry. Yeah, never been on we'll never go on that, thank you.
You will.
But yeah, I just remember really looking forward to going back and it not being there. And it sounds really weird because it probably wasn't that good. But in my mind, it was good. In my memory, it was amazing. Probably a good thing that it's not there anymore, to be fair.
Obviously went for a reason then.
Yeah.
So Melanie, you've been quite a few times then by the sounds of it.
I have, yes. I went for the very first time back in 92 with my friend. I had a gap and started going back to Disneyland Paris in 1999. And I was gutted to say that last year was the first year since 1999 that I haven't stepped foot in a Disney park.
Pandemic.
As the girls have said, it's a happy place. You know, the feeling that you get when you walk through the gates and you walk onto Main Street, you just can't get that anywhere else. It's just amazing. The atmosphere, the friendliness, and you just look around and everybody is just there for the same reason, just to let go and have fun. And there's no other place on Earth like it, really.
You must have some awesome memories, Mel. So have you got one particular standout favourite memory?
I have two. I have one in Florida, which was a few years ago. We went to the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party, actually on Halloween. It was the most amazing party evening that I've ever been to, and I've been to a few of them. The fireworks were due to start, and everybody had gathered in front of the castle. Everyone was seated, and I was, you know, probably expecting everyone to stand up with the kids coming on the shoulders and the iPads, and everybody just stayed, sat down for the whole of the fireworks. It was just magical. It was an amazing experience just to see them with nothing in front of you. It was amazing.
And the why can't people do that now instead of putting kids on shoulders? And you said you had another favourite memory.
I do. The memory I have is from Disneyland Paris. It's the first trip that the three of us went together, and we live at opposite ends of the country, so we meet there. We don't travel together. And as I say, it was the first trip we were there. We'd arranged to meet in Cafe Fantasia in the Disneyland Hotel, and I just remember getting out of the lift, and the two girls were just stood there leaning over the balcony, and it was the first time we were together. We just had a massive hug, and we were all in tears that we were in Disney together.
That's my memory.
Bringing it back. Now, I'm going to ask you two for your favourite memories, Rachel and Anna. Is that the same memory, or have you got completely different favourite memories, or is that the same one?
That was my favourite memory. It was just the most incredible, because like Mel said, you know, and the whole, you know, the build-up to that trip and the reasons behind that trip are really special to the three of us. And just the fact that, yeah, Mel came out of the lift and Anna and I were there, and it was just like this massive group. It was messy. Absolutely. And then we pulled ourselves together and went and had a Glotini in Cafe Fantasia.
Of course.
Our sofa in Cafe Fantasia.
You've got your own sofa in there.
Yeah. You know, that's what it means, is it's those memories that you just... Like, our friendship is built around Disney. We wouldn't know each other if it wasn't for Disney. And, you know, so the circumstances that came to us all becoming friends are so special to us. And it is all rooted in our love of Disney.
And other people don't get it. And if they don't get it, that's fine. We don't want to be friends with them.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about some of our favourite Disney things, some of our favourite park things. Let's just start off with favourite attraction.
Tower of Terror, which happens to be Rachel's worst, but I absolutely love it. I love it no matter what park I'm in, whether it's Disneyland Paris or Walt Disney World. I love the theming. I love the intricacy. I absolutely love the drop ride sequences. I can't get enough of it. I remember the first time I rode it, which it had actually only just opened in what was then MGM. And I was desperate to ride it, and it was actually open for a sort of soft opening. So it was before its official opening. And I was with mum, dad, brother, nan, granddad. And so poor dad drew the short straw and had to ride with me because nobody else would. And I didn't want to do it by myself because I was a little bit scared. Yeah. And I just remember my poor dad just like, I do feel really bad. And he's never been on it since, however. My heart was going like the clappers. And when you move out into that sort of drop corridor zone.
Shaft.
I didn't want to say that.
You can say it.
But especially in Florida, you now I know when the drop's coming because I've ridden it so many times. However, that first time I was like, I wonder when it's going to happen because they turn the lights off and I wonder when it's going to. And then all of a sudden I just remember my dad going, it's just got warmer. And I thought, oh, it's now. And the doors opened and I just remember looking out, screaming, laughing. My dad just like holding on for dear life. And that memory actually is also a very happy memory of mine, but also it was just that was it. From that moment on, it was the Tower of Terror, wherever, yeah. just wherever, whenever, and however many times I can get on that ride, I'm on it. And the fact that Rachel absolutely hates it.
I do.
But still rides it with us.
Do you still go on, Rachel?
I hate drop rides. I can do roller coasters, I can go upside down, I can do all of that, but I hate anything that drops and kind of makes it feel like your stomach's in your throat. I hate that. So I normally have to do parachute drop in Paris first, because that kind of builds
the
me up
to the
main event, which is it. And I literally get dragged on. Well, I would say kicking and screaming, but I'm normally mute from terror because I'm just like white and
white and wild.
And it's, I think the first time I did it, and this is the thing, I hate it, but I will always come off laughing, shaking and laughing. But the first time I did it, I remember we got into the ride vehicle, sat down front row, obviously, and the cast
to make it worse.
Well, yeah. Exactly. The cast members are phenomenal on Tower of Terror, like on Phantom Manor and what have you. And he clocked how scared I was. And I'm sitting there doing like hyperventilating, deep breathing. I'm like, he started mimicking me. And taking the mickey out of me. I was like, how dare you?
Just gave you a little wave of the door shut. And a little
yeah, they do that, don't they? That look, because the door's closed.
Our photo, which I'm sure we can supply, our photo from that ride is epic. You've got Rachel in the middle of Mel and myself.
Oh, my God.
My hand has never been the same, and I don't think that has either. And there's literally Mel and I with just sheer delight and utter terror on Rachel's face. I just summed up that whole ride experience. It's hilarious. Mel and I are like, it's like we're on a completely different ride, having a lovely time, and Rachel's just on the scariest ride of her life.
The day of hell.
Yes!
So, Rachel, what is your favourite then?
Not Tower of Terror. I think the ride for me, it's got to be Small World. It's the first ride that you get on as soon as you get to the park. There is no negotiation on that. That is where you head to. And because it's the approach, you hear the clock ticking and you're like even now I'm like getting goosebumps just thinking about like the atmosphere as you're walking up to the ride. And then you're on the ride and you're like, I've arrived.
You hear the song.
Absolutely. And I love Small World because some people love it and some people hate it. And I love it and I don't care.
But I think everybody loves it. It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
People who hate it, secretly they love it because it's just part of that trip to Disney, isn't it?
Exactly.
So, Melanie, Mel, favourite attraction?
Well, much as I do love Tower of Terror, I have to say my favourite attraction would be Expedition Everest in Animal Kingdom. I'll be honest, I was never a fan of bigger rides and roller coasters, and I sort of built up to them gradually. But that ride, there's just something about it. Every time I get on, you're going up the lift hill, and it's always higher than I remember. But the theming around it, even the queue line, it's just a fantastic ride. And I always come off that ride with a big smile on my face. So I would have to put that at the top of my list.
And again, having been since the early 90s, are there attractions that you're gutted that aren't there anymore?
Attractions, not so much, because I do quite enjoy, you know, the changes and seeing the new ones coming through. The one thing I am gutted is not there anymore, though, is the Osborne Lights. Hollywood Studios at Christmas. They were phenomenal and they were such a huge part of the experience that it does break my heart a little bit that to think we'll never see those again. They were absolutely amazing wandering through those streets with those lights on. So that for me would be my big miss.
I think I'm sure that those lights have been, some of them have been reused at Animal Kingdom in Dino Land, I think. The last couple of years, I think so. Not like the big spectacle that they were at Hollywood Studios, but I think they've been reused. Let's talk about resorts. Do you stay on property when you go?
Yes.
Talking Florida now.
My favourite resort would be Saratoga Springs. I love the boat ride down to Disney Springs. I just love the laid-back feel of the resort. And just getting the studio, having a little kitchen area available, that little bit of extra space. I know it doesn't always get a lot of love, but for me, that would be my go-to resort if I was going back.
When
I go back.
And what about your favourite resorts?
I've only stayed at Old Key West and All Star Music. So quite different experiences. And like Mel, I absolutely love, with Old Key West, I love the proximity to Disney Springs, the fact that you can get the boat there. It really does open up your dining options, certainly of an evening, especially if you're sort of having a bit of a quieter day. But I have to say, I mean, I was very skeptical of staying at a value resort the last time I went, having sort of stayed at Old Key West and that being a deluxe and all the lovely things that come with that. I actually stayed there with my mum. It was just mum and I, and we had a family suite. So we had the extra space for the two of us. There's no way that we could cope in one room for 2 weeks. I love my mum, but I'm sure she'd say the same thing.
Only for a few days.
Yeah, fine. But what was great about that is that it had two bathrooms and we had the kitchen area and there was the extra space. So that was really nice. And actually we found for us that it actually worked out better for us. Even though we had a one-bed villa at Old Key West, which was very fancy and very lovely. Love the balcony, love having that space. But in all honesty, very rarely spend enough time on resort. Yeah. In sort of like at the actual resort to really appreciate it. So actually staying at a value worked out beautifully and for like dining options, we didn't eat sort of like main meals there. We'd always go off and do that somewhere else. But to grab a quick breakfast in the morning, it was perfect. It was much easier for us there. So we actually had, obviously we had expectations, but we had sort of fairly minimal expectations of it and actually superseded it in so many ways. And yes, it's a huge resort. It possibly helped that we went in March, so it wasn't ridiculously busy in the height of summer. And there was no cheerleading things happening at the time, so we were probably okay with that. So it may be that others have had different experiences at different times of the year. However, our experience was a really good one. But I fully intend on trying Coronado next time.
New tower.
Yeah. I'd like to. Yes, yeah. I'd like to. Yeah,
that's what I was booked to go to last summer. Everything happened.
So what happened with your booking then, Rachel? Have you moved that or did you just cancel and get a full refund and you just got to sit back and wait?
Yeah, cancelled it and got the money back. It was too, everything was so uncertain and it was like to try and move it. I was just like, I can't, just give me my money back, please. Thank you very much.
I'll wait.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's a shame, but it will happen one day. I don't know when. Yeah.
Next year, it's got to be. Would you go back next year? Because you want to go, because it's the 50th birthday today, but that goes on like Disney do. They have a birthday that goes on for years. Mickey Mouse was 90 for about 5 years.
Yeah. Well, if we could all get away with having a birthday for two solid years, we would.
Drag it out. Maybe they'll extend it a bit more if we can't go over. But are you all hoping to get over for the 50th?
I would love to. That was always the plan for me. So I would love to go back next year. However, obviously I've been pricing it up because you do.
Daily.
Why not? however, I'm still a little bit hesitant on just confirming it. I know we can move it, but I hate the disappointment of that, which is why I think you ended up cancelling.
Yeah.
But I'd like to, but I just don't know. Don't know whether to leave it another year. I don't want to. It's not a case of...
Because also for us, like, the part of the excitement around booking a holiday is booking a holiday. It's like, and actually sometimes I... At the point where I booked a holiday, I'm like, oh, I can't price anything up now. Yeah. part of the fun is spending weeks and weeks pricing stuff up and figuring out where you're going to go and what you're going to say. And I think at the moment, the joy's been taken out of that because actually we just don't know. So I've booked Disneyland Paris for February half term next year for me and my son. And I booked it and I was like, oh, okay. You know, there was no like, oh, I'm going back to Disneyland Paris and I've not been for like 18 months. You know, there was no... Might be because I'm not going with the girls, I'm going with my son. It might be that.
They might turn up. Invite themselves.
Yeah, I think that's because for us, like the whole, and you know, that's where you kind of come back to the dib. Oh my God, you could lose hours on the dib just talking to people about planning and where should I go and what should I do and where should I stay and where am I going to eat and all that kind of stuff. And because everything's still so uncertain, that bit of joy has been taken away temporarily.
for me, a big part of it is the planning. So once you've got it booked, it's actually planning what you're going to do on what days, what parks, what rides, restaurants. And I think the uncertainty of what's actually going to be open and what the experience will be, I think until we know that things are a little bit more back to normal, I'm like the other two, I'm hesitant to actually hit the book button. But I would love to go for the 50th. I bet that would just be amazing. So fingers crossed to get some normality back and we can get those bookings in.
We'll be back chatting more with the Glotini girls in just a moment. But as we were just talking there about the 50th, which is today, 1st of October 1971, Walt Disney World opened for the very first time. And today, 50 years later, all the celebrations are starting. So let's have a look at what celebrations are actually happening for the Golden Jubilee of Walt Disney World, which will run for 18 months, by the way. So don't worry thinking, oh, no, I won't be able to get there in the next 12 months. But believe me, Disney parties, they go on forever. Mickey Mouse was 90 for about 4 years. So today, for the 50th, we've got brand new fireworks over at Magic Kingdom. We said goodbye to Happily Ever After, the replacement for Wishes, which I thought was brilliant. So tonight is the first public showing of Disney Enchantment, the brand new nighttime spectacular with Disney music and fireworks going down Main Street USA in Magic Kingdom. Meanwhile, Epcot have got their new nighttime experience, Harmonious. Both of those, by the way, were on YouTube this week. If you want to watch them, you can. Maybe you want to save them until you actually get back to Walt Disney World. I know the reviews of Harmonious particularly were a bit also, we've got Disney Kite Tales at Animal Kingdom, which is a brand new daytime spectacular with high-flying performances of kites with Disney themes and Disney characters. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure finally opens at Epcot as well. That's their big new attraction for the 50th. And across all four parks, the Beacons of Magic. Lights shine from Spaceship Earth, from Tower of Terror, from the Castle and the Tree of Light in a beam of positivity and optimism. And also, there's the merch and the food with 150 brand new food items for the 50th. So when we can go back to Walt Disney World, we will slowly make our way through all of those. That's, of course, just the stuff that's going on right now for the 50th. With 50th is going to go on for a year and a half. So there's a lot of other things to look forward to. We're still waiting for news on Tron. Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind at Epcot is going to be opening next year. That's been confirmed. Galactic Star Cruiser, the Star Wars Hotel. It's not a hotel. That's going to open on the 1st of March. In fact, you can start booking that from the 28th of October. So end of October, you can start booking in to the Star Wars Hotel. And also, has been announced for the 50th, is Interactive Magic Bands. Magic Band Plus is going to be launching next year. That's going to light up and it's going to interact with the Fab 50 statues throughout the park. So a lot of things to look forward to over at Walt Disney World. Any more news that's coming from the parks, we'll keep you updated on our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical. And as soon as we get that date on when America will finally be opening up, we know it's early November. Full confirmed dates, we'll let you know across all socials as soon as we can. If you'd like to be a podcast guest, by the way, that's where you need to go. PodMagical, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. That's what the Glotini girls did. Let's get back to our Disney chat with the three friends who came together through their love of the Disney parks. But what would the ideal Walt Disney World day be?
For me, I absolutely love starting the day at Crystal Palace in Magic Kingdom with a character breakfast with Winnie the Pooh and friends. Just sets you up for the day. The food there, the experiences that I've had there have just been fantastic. It's been some of the best character interactions that I've had. And I just love that starting the day off with the characters in the right spirit, and then just walking down Main Street and hitting the park and deciding which way shall we go today and what rides are we going to do. So, Crystal Palace every day for me. Well, not literally every day, but
if you could. Every day. Anna, what about you? Favourite restaurants at Disney World?
I'm a big fan of Ohana for breakfast and or dinner. Polynesian Resort's always been one that I just love. The Polynesian, never stayed there, will do one day, of course. But it's somewhere that I remember, again, as a kid, going over on the boat And looking at it thinking, wow, that looks amazing. And I remember actually the first time visiting there, which actually wasn't that many years ago, and just being in complete awe of that hotel. But Ohana for me, at breakfast time with Lilo and Stitch and Pluto, I mean, Stitch and Pluto, my two favourite characters. so, you know, say no more. But the, I don't know, the atmosphere in there, the fact that I had no idea that they were going to, like, they it was 1 year where I'd sort of taken the kids, and they were older. But when they were younger, they loved watching Lilo and Stitch. And they will kill me for this if they listen to this. But I remember one day them coming downstairs to me at home, and my son had put his Hawaiian shirt on, and my daughter had put her hula skirt on, and her flower necklace that she bought on some holiday somewhere. And they played Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride, and they did a little like hula sort of like dance for me. Super
actually,
cute.
Actually going to kill you.
They are going to kill
you. Play it when they're really old. Play this back to them when they're really older, in front of loads of people.
So that was, they did that for me when they were quite young. And we went back, and they were in their, my son was in his late teens, daughter early teens, and we went for breakfast at Ohana. And we were just sat around enjoying the Mickey waffles, who doesn't enjoy those? And all of a sudden, they started playing Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride, and they were calling the little kids up to go and have a little parade. But I remember my two looking at each other like, oh, like that, then looking at me, laughing, and then they both just sat there and did the little dance at the table. And for me, brilliant. That
was it.
That's it. It was amazing. But the food was great. The atmosphere is great. The Polynesian is a beautiful resort. And then on the flip side, going for dinner, who doesn't love the Ohana noodles? Big thing recently. And then being able to watch the fireworks from the beach, or even from Ohana, is just, it's something else. It's another, I don't know, it's just another thing that makes it amazing. So yeah, for me, it's an honor. I love it. I absolutely love it.
And being mums, when you're going to any of the Disney parks, Disney World, Disneyland Paris, do you tell the kids that you booked, or do you like to save it as a surprise nearer the time? And how do you tell them? How do you do the big reveal? You always see these videos, don't you?
Yeah.
I did. I booked a trip for me and my two kids. So my eldest would have been, they're at high school, so it would have been like 11, 12, and my son was 3.5, 4. Didn't tell either of them until, so picked up my son from nursery, brought him home. My eldest came home from high school, and I'd got them rucksacks, so a Mickey Mouse rucksack and a Minnie Mouse rucksack, and I'd filled them with like stuff to keep them entertained on the train, and I'd got them a Disney sweatshirt each, because we were going in, like, it was cold. We always go when it's cold to Paris. It's the best time to go. So literally they came home, and it was like, we're going to Disneyland Paris. And my eldest was like, what, when? And I'm like, now.
Now.
Like, but I've got school. And I'm like, no, you haven't.
Even better.
Back in the day, you could actually take them out of school and not get fined for it. And literally got in the car and we went. And I think it was a little bit lost on my son, because he was like quite young and hadn't been before. But my eldest was just like, this is awesome. And it was just like, yeah, it's going to. So yeah, I've kind of done. I think it's really difficult when you book, because you book so far out, you tend to book so far out, especially, you know, like if you're booking Florida, you know, you will book a long time out, and kids can't cope with that. They have no sense of time. So it's like, well, when are we going? How many sleeps? And you're like, oh my God, it's like 200 sleeps. Stop asking. You know? So yeah, I do love springing a surprise.
I never did
that. I suppose, especially now, with the current climate, it's probably best not to tell them anyway until the day before, just in case.
Yeah, because who knows if you're
the day
going
before it gets cancelled, yeah. And you've never done that, Anna? You've never surprised the kids?
Never.
It's bad, I mean, mum. She's never taken the kids.
Terrible. I feel awful. Sorry, kids. I get too excited. I can't keep it in. And actually, I like to involve them in the planning process. So I like to, they're too old to come with me now. They probably wouldn't want to come with me now. But they loved the planning. They loved being involved with that. I am a super huge, massive planner. I have notebooks for everything. And I liked the fact that they enjoyed the planning with me. They would sit and look at, you know, what rides do we want to go on? And I'd sort of then try and incorporate that into our day. Are there any restaurants you want to set? Look at the menus. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it depends on the age of your kids, but that's for me. Yeah, I just always involve them in the planning process. Sometimes they'd be like, okay, well, I'm done now. And I'd be like, oh, but we're only on day one.
We've spent 3 weeks planning day one.
Exactly.
We've not even got to fast passes yet. Have you got any other mum tips when you're actually in the parks? Because obviously there can be long days, early mornings for rope drops, staying for the fireworks.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Do that.
There was one trip that my son and I did together, and we walked 12 miles in one day, and I was nearly sobbing by the time we got back to the hotel. We got back to the hotel at 11 o'clock at night. And it was just, my son is hardcore. Like, he's a huge theme park enthusiast. We're going to Thorpe Park this week. He's like full on into, so he wants to be there for opening and there at closing. And it is exhausting. And I do not recommend it at all.
Don't do it.
No, I think biggest tip is probably just take a break. That's actually my biggest tip for everyone, not just people with children or anything.
Yeah.
Take a break. That's something that I didn't used to do. I'd be like full on, especially if you're staying off site. It's harder in that sense. But if you are on site, make the most of that, because you really can. I mean, I try and do like two parks on one day. So I'll start in one park, I will then go back to resort, chill for a couple of hours, and then go back out but go somewhere else, because you always feel like you've had more time, even though you have but you just feel like you're actually getting 2 days in one, rather than sort of like I have done from rope drop to fireworks, and it's exhausting and you feel icky. And to be honest, you sit there waiting for the fireworks and you just can't wait for them to be over so you can leave. And that's not what it's supposed to be like. You're supposed to be enjoying it. So I think take a break. Even if you perhaps are off site and you don't want to leave and come back, because it is a bit of a schlep, just take some time. Go sit in the hub or find
all the residents. Hall of Presidents, you can get a good snooze on in there.
Yeah.
Air conditioning, snooze.
Yeah, exactly. But just stop and take a break. And I think that's the biggest tip for everyone. Yeah.
And actually, we've learned that from Mel as well. Yeah. Mel is the pro, the ultimate at just chilling. Just sit down and have a coffee. Sit.
Coffee.
Cocktail. Cocktail.
Yeah. Cocktail. And then Bella's got a massive glass of red wine, by the way, that she keeps plugging in during this chat.
And we have to do stuff. And Mel's like, would you just sit and just take in the atmosphere, watch the world go by? It's, yeah.
What are the tips?
It was a whole new
Mel?
Experience, wasn't it?
It didn't feel natural.
And yet you didn't miss anything. You rode every ride.
Yes. All right.
Mel. What other tips would you have, Mel?
My biggest tip is to do the planning. Know exactly what you want to do. Throw the plan away when you get there if it doesn't suit what your mood is that day. So, you know, enjoy the time. And this came as a shock to the other two. But you've got to get up in the morning. And if your plan says that you're doing X, Y, Z and you're a bit tired from the previous day, don't be frightened of changing your plan. Don't be frightened of doing what you feel like doing at that point in time. And do it your way. You know, take all the advice and take all the tips, but don't try to follow what someone else's park experiences are. You've got to go and make your own way, and you've got to do it your way. And there's no other way to do Disney other than, you know, you do you type of thing. So that would be my biggest tip. Take the advice and then throw it all away and just do your own thing when you get there.
Where else have you ventured to in Florida or Orlando? Have you been to any of the other parks?
I've been to all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done the Universal, done SeaWorld, Discovery Cove, Busch Gardens. Not every trip, but usually Disney and Universal would be a must-do on the trips that I've done. But I tend to, I mean, I don't know about the other two, but I go to Florida to do Disney. I don't go to see the wider Florida. I go to Florida because that's where Walt Disney World is. And because I'm there, yes, I'm obviously going to go and do the Universal and probably the SeaWorld. But I think the only one time when I've been there, I did a cruise. We did a 6-night Caribbean cruise one time. And that was a whole new experience for me to actually be in that neck of the woods and not being in a theme park.
Although was that a Disney cruise?
No, it wasn't. It was Royal Caribbean. I'd love to do a Disney cruise one day, but can't justify the pricing.
Yeah. Definitely. Although saying that, the prices of the Florida Disney cruises are a lot cheaper than the ones that they did in the UK this summer.
Aren't they just?
Yeah, and you get to go to Castaway Key.
Very true.
I'm going to give you 24 hours in Walt Disney World. So here's the plan, all right? You're all going together. Rachel, this is going to be your first time.
My mind is going to be blown.
the other girls are going to plan the ultimate day in Walt Disney World. I'm giving you park hopper passes. I'm giving you the dining plan. I'm giving you fast passes. Where you starting the day, how you spending it, where you finishing it. Are you coming home for a rest? Or was that advice just...
If I've only got one day, stop the rest.
This is your ideal day at Walt Disney World.
This is where
it's a long way to go for one day.
I will not get tired on this day. My feet will not hurt. So that's okay. That's fine. So I don't know about Mel, but I feel that this is a good way to start, is to start early, go to Tusker House for breakfast before the park opens.
Yes.
Have your character meet there. So we're in Animal Kingdom.
Who am I going to meet?
You're going to meet Donald.
Okay.
And Daisy.
Are they in their safari outfits?
They are.
They're amazing. Yeah. And Mickey's there as well. So you can tick the main man off.
You can. The food is amazing. And then as soon as you finish, you can get straight on the safari before it gets too hot and all the animals go to bed.
God, this sounds genius. I love it.
So that's where I would definitely start my day in Animal Kingdom, doing that. I feel that's good.
Are we happy with this so far, Mel? We're starting Animal Kingdom.
I'm happy with that, but then we've obviously got to carry on walking around to do Expedition Everest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Why would that?
Use my hand on that as well. Because there's a bit that goes backwards in the dark that I feel she might hate.
Oh, you are
hate.
That sounds brilliant.
But it's the best bit.
It is.
Yeah. I can't leave without going to see the Lion King show because it's the most epic, amazing show ever. So I feel, for me, if I've just got that little bit of morning time there, Safari, Expedition Everest, Lion King show, leave.
Takes you to the kind of late morning, doesn't it?
So we can get out. Forget Pandora. It's good. It's all right.
It's all right.
Not worth the 2-hour wait.
Come on, people, let's go.
We've got a day.
Move along.
Well, if we've done Animal Kingdom, I'm going to then put us on the bus to Hollywood Studios because we've got to get Rachel onto Tower of Terror before the third sets in for the day. You know, we've got to get it out of the way and get it done with. So we're going to head there, Rachel. I'm really sorry. And we're going to get on that ride.
Sure, there's better things we could do with our time.
Clearly, we have all the fast passes for this because,
you've got unlimited fast passes. So you're fine. Don't worry about that.
In that case, I feel we need to go on Slinky Dog. It's brilliant.
Absolutely.
I would love to go on Slinky Dog. I'm so excited when I get out there to do Toy Story Land. It just looks awesome.
Toy Story Midway Mania.
Yeah.
Come off that. You don't have a hand. Ridiculous ride.
Repetitive strain injury.
And then I think from there, we could get on the boat from Studios to Epcot.
Absolutely.
Or walk it.
The boat. We're conserving energy. That's our little rest during the day.
Yeah. Right. And I like a boat. Mel and I like a cruise.
Exactly. So.
Cruise.
Then you get to see some of the resorts because obviously you see this one and the dolphin, even though it doesn't look like a dolphin. you've got the boardwalk, you've got Yacht and Beach Club. So you get to see all those from the boat. Brilliant. Arrive into the World Showcase area, which in my opinion is the nicest part of Epcot anyway. And then obviously, because it's us, we're going to need to stop somewhere for a bit of a cocktail.
I was going to say, when's the cocktail stop?
Well, this is like, you know, we're probably after lunch now, so like, I feel like
I think we've hit about 4 or 5 o'clock now. It's almost dinner time, tea time.
Yeah, definitely time for a cocktail.
Assuming that there's either food and wine or flower and garden happening, we need some snacks. We need to try some food. We definitely need cocktails.
Grey Goose slushy.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay. Where's that from? Where's the Grey Goose slushy from?
That's from France in Epcot in the World Showcase.
Right. Yeah,
they are epic.
They really are.
Have you ever done drinking around the world?
I've tried. A combination of heat, money, and yes, lots of alcohol. No, probably not the best combo for that. So I have drunk around the world in different stages. So I feel that counts too.
Over 20 years.
Yes, I am that old. I can do that. So I think, seeing as we're up there, just one experience of the showcase, of the World Showcase that you need to experience is the Grand Fiesta Tour in the Mexico Pavilion, because loved that. It's such, that's possibly one of my guilty pleasures. I love that. The Mexico Pavilion is my favorite pavilion, always has been. But that little ride in there is just, it's brilliant. I love it. And since they added Donald and made it less boring, it was
And also, while you're in there as well, you can have a margarita.
Margarita, absolutely.
Carved in tequila,
So then I feel we possibly need to leave and have a bottle of water on the way out. Onto the monorail, because that's a good way to go. Monorail from Epcot to Magic Kingdom, because you have to finish your day in Magic Kingdom, because you need to finish with the fireworks.
Brand new ones. We don't know. We haven't seen them yet. Yeah,
we haven't.
But they will always grab you by your heartstrings, make you cry, give you goosebumps. You have to do it. There's nothing like standing on Main Street with the music, the fireworks, the projections.
The castle.
And you just stand there and you're like, I can't believe I'm here. I literally, you know, people say you have to pinch yourself. You do. I stand there like, I can't believe I'm actually watching this. I can't. Every single time. But it has to be done. You can't. No day or trip would be without that. Definitely not.
And do you think they're going to keep Tinkerbell for the new fireworks?
They better.
They have to, surely.
They have to.
Yes.
Yeah. And where are you staying? Because you've done 4 parks in one day.
I feel
we've got a crash.
Magic Kingdom Resort.
if we're going to stay there, then I think it has to be the Wilderness Lodge, because the hotel we choose in Paris is Sequoia Lodge, and I think the Wilderness Lodge is probably the closest to that. So I think for us, for the three of us, that would have to be our hotel to choose.
Yeah, and they've got a lovely bar over there as well.
They do.
by the lake. I can't remember what it's called.
Geyser Point.
Yeah. Quite often, if I'm at Magic Kingdom, you're talking about having, like, going for a bit of a rest. Get that little boat over there. He's a boy. Great food and a drink. It's amazing. So there we are. Does that sound all right to you?
I mean, I'll come to make up the numbers. Yes, it sounds amazing.
4 parks in one day.
Tower of Terror. If we could switch that out with something else.
Get that bit out.
You can't go to Disney and not do Tower of Terror, Rachel.
You're right. And annoyingly, my son has already told me that he's dragging me on Tower of Terror when we go to Paris.
Because he wants to laugh at you. That's probably why.
Yeah, he does. Yes, because he knows I hate it.
Well, lovely talking to the three of you for this 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World podcast. So we'll raise a cocktail. We'll raise a Glotini.
To Walt Disney World. Definitely. Pink gin.
Oh, pink gin.
I've got water. But it is an iridescent glass, so it looks fancy.
Iridescent?
Iridescent.
I'm going to be on brand. Rachel, what have you got there? That's a cup of tea.
Yeah, add a cup of tea in my Mary Poppins mug.
I am practically perfect. In every way.
Obviously.
Well, I hope you all get to go to Walt Disney World together very soon.
So do we.
And it's been great talking to you. And I'm going to say now, have a magical day.
You too.
And if you would like to be a podcast guest, it doesn't matter when you went, anytime over the last 50 years, if you want to come on the podcast and talk about some of your Walt Disney World memories, then give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are at Pod Magical. We're looking for guests now for next year. So maybe you've got a trip planned for later on this year or early next year. You want to talk about it when you get back. We'd love to get you on. But if you send me a message now, we can sort out a time when you get back. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are. Rounding up the podcast with a top tip. This episode is all about food at night. You know when you were at the Magic Kingdom and you've stayed and you've watched the fireworks, and at the end of the fireworks you think, oh, I'm a little bit hungry. Everything is closed. Probably you might get a little snack on Main Street. You could probably get a cupcake or something like that. But if you want something a little bit more substantial, you need to walk over to the Polynesian. Yes, you can walk to the Polynesian from the Magic Kingdom via the new walkway they've got that goes past the Grand Floridian. You could probably get the monorail, but I'm saying walk. It's going to be quicker. Captain Cook's at the Polynesian is one of the very few restaurants on site that's actually open 24/7. So food at Disney in the middle of the night, 24/7, Captain Cook's, the Polynesian. They will feed you for a price. We've got a brand new podcast 2 weeks today. Don't forget, brand new podcast coming out every fortnight with more top tips, more guests. And of course, we'll keep you updated between now and then with any news that comes from Walt Disney World or maybe the travel reopening. Everything you need to know, Pod Magical, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. Then you don't need to worry about finding us. We've got loads of episodes to catch up on if you're getting excited about going back to Walt Disney World. If you could give us a 5-star review as well, that'd be brilliant. And hit that subscribe button. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.